Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm playing next week.
Okay, we'll find out. It seems familiar. How much are we going to know about Aaron Rodgers before we have to? Aaron Nagler with Cheesehead TV joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. We'll start there. You think Rodgers is playing on Sunday?
Yeah, I do. I think they're going to make us hem and haw all week, and they're going to try and make the Vikings have to game plan for two different quarterbacks. When it all said and done, I'll be very surprised if Rodgers isn't out there.
McCarthy, he probably knows. He's playing coy with us. Not going to give us
absolutely
the answers.
Absolutely. Yeah, 1,000%. 1,000%. Oh, God, yeah. I don't doubt that, at least by now, that they have the information they need.
We've talked a lot over the last 36 hours, and this is something we've talked about in the past. It almost seems like an injured Rodgers is almost a better Rodgers to an extent, Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, I get that only because it forces him to fight against his nature to get outside, try and make things happen out there. But you can't deny, you know, the big plays that come when he does that. But I do think the offense runs more efficiently when he's inside the pocket.
Yeah, it does. You know, he's limited in the amount of things he can do. But I thought the wide receivers, you know, what they were able to do, the yards after catch and making the plays they did. I don't know if they got enough credit. And Cobb, who I think Packer fan always wants to write off, with his catch and run and still showing that he can get after it and run downfield.
I mean, throughout the entire game, don't forget, they finally got going with Kizer under center on a big catch Cobb had up the right sideline, you know, jump and grab, and upfield he went. I've been beating that back all summer. Why Packers fans want to run Randall Cobb out of town is just beyond me. I mean, I understand people look at everything through the prism of a contract these days, but you just got to get he and Aaron Rodgers healthy on the same field, and you're going to get production. It kind of blows my mind that people all summer long were quick to kind of want to pull that trigger.
Do you honestly think he was ever on the trade block?
No. I know for a fact one team did call and inquire about him, but the Packers, you know, shut that down real quick because they know how effective he is when Rodgers is healthy. So I know they didn't shop him. I know a team called, and that was the extent of it.
So DeShone Kizer comes in there, all right, the second quarter, and he hits Cobb and he hits Devontae, and they're rolling a little bit, and then there's a turnover. And then there's another turnover, and of course it's Khalil Mack. It was like a nightmare scenario for the Packers and a dream scenario for the Bears. Did you see anything from Kizer to make you think, all right, if this is a problem with Rodgers, if this is going to happen again, are they better off than they were with Hundley from what you saw on Sunday? Or could we have been talking about an 0-16 season had Rodgers been out for the year?
I mean, I think eventually they would win a game, and maybe that's the optimist in me. But I don't think, you know, they're appreciably better. I don't think there's that much difference. Obviously, there's athletic upside. He's got a better arm. But, I mean, he's still wildly erratic as a passer. And you saw Sunday night, you know, the problems diagnosing things on the, you know, as far as patterns and pulling the quick trigger, et cetera. I mean, it was all there. Every problem with his game. So, it was very apparent once they traded Hundley that they were, you know, conceding the fact that if Rodgers goes down, they're punting on the season. There's no other way to look at that.
Why would they think that way?
I think because they ought, you know, it's kind of a acquiescing to the idea that they have built the entire team around Rodgers and they've just paid him all this money.
Mm-hmm.
You and I sitting on the outside obviously are like, win at all costs, etc. You've got to be able to do what the Vikings did last year and go through a number of quarterbacks and still be effective. Well, the Vikings are able to do that because they have the number one defense and they have a simplified playbook and, you know, all these factors that go into it, whereas the Packers have built everything around Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they just, I think, Gutekunst decided, you know, he found a quarterback that he had liked coming out in the draft that was well-documented, traded for him, and once he shipped Hundley, who, you know, I don't think any objective observer could say anything other than he outplayed Kizer in the preseason. Once that happened, I mean, it's pretty. The die is cast. It's okay if Aaron goes down, we're punting. I would have to, you know, hear from Gutekunst on why that determination was made, but you can only judge the man by his actions.
But couldn't you at least go out and like the Tampa had Ryan Fitzpatrick lead? You know, he led the Buccaneers to a win once.
I said all spring, if there's somebody they could go get, it would be Fitzpatrick. That would make a world of sense. He's a guy who's been a lot of places, played a lot of football. He can step in and get you through a couple games. I think Fitzpatrick was always going to stay in Tampa Bay because of the kind of perilous mood around Jameis Winston. He knew there was a chance that he could play, and obviously that has happened now. Maybe he would have come to Green Bay. Who knows? I guess a lot of that would have depended on the money. But then again, there's that issue. What backup who knows he's played in the league and won games in the league and done whatever, you know, you ask a dreaming quarterback to do, who is going to pick Green Bay? You know what I mean? Because there's zero chance for upward mobility. You're sitting behind Aaron Rodgers, no matter what.
Yeah, but
Rodgers is ready to play, he's going to play.
But if Rodgers gets hurt, you're a heartbeat away from getting into that game. And a good team, too.
But then you play for a game or two, and then you're done. In a place like Tampa, you could take over and become the man. That's how, you know, precarious these quarterback situations are around the league. Another reason Packers fans should bless their souls that they've had Favre and Rodgers for 20
years. I just will never understand.
Bart Starr at one point.
Guys, I just will never understand what the way of thinking by just punting the season and not getting a veteran backup. I'll just never get that. I just won't. And I just a stubbornness on their part.
Aaron Nagler, Cheesehead TV, Chuck and Winkler on the Fan.
I hate it.
A lot on the offense we can talk about. Chuck, you could rail on this for the next 5 years. Yeah. On defense, Aaron, I thought maybe my expectations were too high. I know there were some different looks, but the pass rush wasn't that effective. There was a three-man pass rush late. It was too more dommy than I wanted it to be.
it was somewhat similar in that regard, especially a 3rd-and-7 game on the line, and you send a three-man rush. I wanted to pour bleach into my eyes, but I thought, you know, once they got through that first drive, which obviously the Bears had spent all offseason preparing
for,
they really emptied the playbook on that first drive, and once that happened, you know, I think they adjusted nicely. And yeah, I mean, was it a little vanilla? I think so. I think Pettin's saving some stuff. You saw some heavier blitzing, some more exotic stuff in the second half. But for the most part, I thought once they settled down, they played pretty well, especially in the secondary. I mean, more than anything else, the number one takeaway for me watching that game and watching that defense was how much more talented they are on the back end.
Except for Haha. Him and Clay, for two guys that are in a contract year, I can't believe that they're playing as poorly as they are. Clay Matthews in the boneheaded play at the end after an already poor game was inexcusable. And Haha Clinton Dix, who we always talk about, the NFL's turning into flag football. I think Haha Clinton Dix like wants that to happen because he doesn't want to tackle. Which of these guys do the Packers, do you think, they need more to be as close to their best version of themselves as possible?
Nah, I mean, that's a choice of evils right there. I mean, probably Clay Matthews, just because they have nothing behind him. I mean, they have Gilbert, and then they have Fackrell, and Fackrell doesn't even count. So, to me, Clay Matthews has to step up his game, but he was abysmal. And here, I said this on Twitter yesterday. I have defended Clay Matthews from Packers fans for a number of years now, because I think a lot of people have been really unfair in their criticisms. They've only looked at sack numbers. He had a very, very good year last year. The tape shows you that he played very well. All of that said, Sunday night was probably the worst I've ever seen him in a Packers uniform, and I don't say that lightly. I mean, it was embarrassing. As for Haha Clinton Dix, yes, you saw the missed tackles, the bad angles, etc. But I think you also, if you look at the tape, you see him in position more often than not. He was pretty solid throughout most of the night. The glaring mistakes were there for all to see on the run play. And then there was one bad angle in the passing game. But for the most part, I thought he played a solid game. Not spectacular, but a solid game. But I think the surprise of the night for me was Kentrell Bryce. I mean, he played outstanding. And, I mean, he played in a way I never saw coming this summer. Because he struggled this summer, kind of up and down. But, he was lights out. And that was promising.
Do you think the defense will be like a work in progress, just like how Aaron says the offense will be? The defense, maybe the same thing. Maybe with the new defensive coordinator, it's going to take a while to get everything in place?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I think that's only natural. And I think it's going to be a little opponent specific. You know, I think not knowing exactly, knowing the kind of offense Nagy is going to run, knowing that there's going to be a lot of bells and whistles, I think Pettine tried to keep it a little bit vanilla just because he didn't want to be caught kind of overexposed, so to speak, trying to send some of his free rushers, which is what he's really known for, and but then leave himself vulnerable on the back end. And I think you saw a lot of four-man rush, saw a lot of straight-up kind of two-man, cover two, and not, you know, not a whole lot else. And I think that's by design. You know, why put it all on tape? They got out with a W. And like I said, he blitzed a little more in the second half, but you know, I do think it was a little vanilla, and I think that's by design.
Aaron Nagler, Cheesehead TV on Twitter, at Aaron Nagler. More Packers coverage today as on the Big Show at 2:48. Bob McGinn will be joining the program. Any comments, or should we just talk to you next week?
You just tell Bob I say hi.
Sounds good. Aaron Nagler, we'll talk next week.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.